The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We'll have good nights. We'll have great nights. But it's how we galvanize this group together and how we sacrifice and compromise for the greater good.
Great glimpses. We started off the game very, very, very good. Just the entire game, we just got to find a way to get stops when we need to.
It felt perfect. It felt like we belong together. This journey together is going to be fun. You know, it was a tough first start, and especially it was an up-and-down game for us. But, you know, I like where we are.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Big shout to Kyrie dropping 37. And did you know that he purchased a home for the family of George Floyd? Classy. Wonderful move by him. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman. I'm Molly Karam-Rose. But, guys, we got bigger problems to deal with this team because I'm confused. So the big three debuts together, Max. They play the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they lose in double overtime. What is your biggest worry about this big three after their debut?
After they couldn't miss a shot early. My biggest worry is defense. Defense is my biggest worry on this team. I would throw in depth, but that's why I thought they needed Kyrie Irving. We were debating that earlier this week. I thought they needed Kyrie because once Dinwiddie got hurt and then they traded LeVert and Jared Allen, they needed, because they were so thin, they needed another high-end performer to take some of the burden off of KD and James Harden. But they have that now. They have that. Even though it's a thin roster, the top three are so explosive offensively. Can score at all three levels, right? They can shoot from the outside. I mean, sure, Harden can hit mid-ranges if he wanted to, and in the paint, the whole thing. But the defense is a problem. I know it was two overtimes. They gave up 147 points, and they were trailing for most of the game. The defense is going to be a problem also because you could talk about DeAndre Jordan, and he could give you 20 minutes and do some things. But Jared Allen's a real NBA player who can play real minutes and especially help you on the defensive glass. The defensive possession's not over just because you make a stop or get in a good position. If they're getting the rebound, it's no good. You have to also get that. They're going to have to bring someone in, and they're going to have to develop a defensive identity. Because from what I saw yesterday, if someone said, what's the biggest problem on this team right now, it's the defense.
Well, listen, I can understand where you're coming from, but I think you missed the biggest point as to why you pointed out the defense. Did you know that the Cleveland Cavaliers have the second worst offense in the National Basketball Association? They rank 29th.
Second
out of 30
worst?
Teams, second worst. Mm. They ranked 29th out of 30 teams in the NBA offensively and dropped 147 on the Brooklyn Nets without Darius Garland, without Kevin Love. So I just wanted to throw that out. But that still ain't the biggest takeaway from yesterday's game. I got news for you, Max. How about not getting the ball to Kevin Durant when it counted most? How about Kyrie Irving taking 28 shots, three more shots than Kevin Durant? How about Kyrie Irving shooting twice as many shots as James Harden? When did we think we'd ever see that? Kyrie, well, it's not about who shoots more, but when you shoot 28 shots and James Harden shoots 14, nobody expected that. And so as a result of it, as the game waned, listen, and then also let's not forget, I mean, Kyrie did used to be a point guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Kyrie Irving did hit the game-winning shot that clinched the championship in Game 7 back in 2016. Kyrie Irving was a showstopper, or you understand, at Quicken Loans Arena, which is no longer the name of that arena. They got a different name now, okay? That Kyrie Irving, who, by the way, they paid tribute to during the game. But the other point guard there now, Sexton, finished with 42. And, oh, by the way, 22 in the overtime.
Which says what about the defense?
I understand that. But you're looking at the defense collectively. I'm looking at Kyrie Irving. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at Kyrie Irving, the showstopper offensive player, Mr. Box Office, because he is. Kyrie Irving, you walk through the turnstiles to watch that brother play.
Best show in the NBA.
No question. But in the end, these are all elements that I'm talking about here. Yeah, you can point to the defense. Got to get the ball to Kevin Durant.
Okay, but wait a minute.
You can't shoot fallaways. Can't shoot contested shots. I mean, he makes the difficult look easy sometimes. But sometimes they were difficult and they were unnecessary. And then when you're taking twice as many shots as James Harden, you don't need to be doing that. So I would have liked to have seen, let's say, for example, Kyrie take, instead of 28 shots, how about 23? and Harden has about 19, and KD has his 25. Uh-huh. That's what I would have liked.
You know what I liked about what Kyrie did, though, is everyone's looking for that. Is Kyrie going to dominate the ball? Is he going to be able to share? Instead of letting that dictate to him and change his game, he just did his thing. It's his first game back. They'll figure that out. I'm not too worried about it. By the way,
they'll figure that out. That's not what you said for years.
I'm not talking about on the court that I'm worried. I'm talking about
I'm talking about on the court. I'm talking about on the court.
He beat Colin Sexton, would have ended the game. I think it was that the regulation or overtime? He beats him off the dribble, would have ended the game, and they called him for the offensive foul.
Yeah, but they overturned it. They overturned it.
Okay.
They overturned that call.
But the point is, Kyrie Irving taking the last shot's going to happen sometimes. Sometimes it's going to be KD. Sometimes it's going to be James Harden.
I agree.
That's all good. Even talk about the defense. Even let's talk about Sexton, right? He was taking some bad shots late in regulation and early in the overtime. He was being – they had two guys on him, hands in his face. He was still – because he's not bothered by defender's hand in his face. He's a baller. What happened? That's because they were leaving Jetty Osman, right? They were just leaving him on defense. Eventually, Bickerstaff notices it. Osman, I think he cut to the basket, gave him the ball, and they realized, okay, we can't leave Osman. We have to have – so now it's one guy.
He had 25.
What, early on, he was hot, but late in regulation and early in overtime, they would just leave him defensively. Eventually, when they made him pay for it, now they can't just leave Osman. Now it's only one guy on Sexton, and he started lighting it up. They have defensive – they're going to have to get their defensive identity together. They have defensive issues.
I'm not saying that they don't have defensive issues. Obviously, I pointed out that they rank – you know, listen, the Nets ranked the 25th, and they gave up 147 to the 29th-ranked offense in the National Basketball Association. I'm not denying that. What I'm saying is when I walk away from this team, looking at this team last night, the biggest concern to me is that you cannot have a discrepancy where Kyrie Irving shows up on the court and shoots twice as many times as Harden. Now, Harden had a triple-double, and so Harden could have been passing up shots himself, and we understand that. But in the end, you're going to have to even the scales to some degree. When we talk about continuity, in terms of expectations, looking at a team and saying, okay, this is what you should expect from them. I'm saying KD shooting about 25 times. Kyrie Irving shooting around 23 times. James Harden shooting about 19, 20, 21 times. That should be what it is. And the only reason why James Harden would elevate those numbers in terms of field goal attempts is because he's basically your point guard. For people to sit there, because James Harden had 12 assists. KD had 8. Kyrie had 3. You know why? Because for the most part, James Harden was pretty much running the show, which we know. Because, listen, if James Harden is your point guard, there's nothing wrong with that. And he may sacrifice shot attempts to make sure he feeds others because he's better at that than Kyrie Irving, to be honest with you. But in the end, you have to make sure that this dude that's averaged 30 over the last 3 years, at least 29 over the last 4, at least 28 over the last 5, you cannot have him shooting 14 shots to your 28 if you expect Brooklyn to be successful, and you certainly can't avoid giving KD the ball when
I'm with that. But that's those two different points. You saying why doesn't KD have the ball at the end of the game versus can Kyrie play team ball? What you bring up about Harden is right, and people should understand when he's called a selfish player. I've never really agreed with that.
He's never been
Harden does and has always done what his team needed him to do. Hasn't always hit the big shots. That's my issue with him. But if you need him to set up teammates, he'll do that. We saw how well he played together with KD their first couple games. Now Kyrie's back, and it starts to fray. That's not, to me, about KD needs the last shot. Any of those three guys could take the last shot. I'll tell you what else. If Harris has a look, he can take the last shot. He shoots better than all those guys, just can't get it himself the way they can. So that's not really my issue. KD must play hero ball at the end. My issue is, can Kyrie fit in with those two? The way on offense, the way Harden and KD fit in together. And even that to me is not as big as the defense.
I think it is a big deal. It is just as big as defense when you talk about James Harden and Kyrie Irving. You've got to work that out.
Yeah.
Okay, you got to work that out and you've got to work out understanding no matter how
good
I
leave
am,
it there. Yeah.
Hot I am.
Yeah.
I'm not KD.
Yeah, but
he got to have a ball.
He's not playing second fiddle to nobody and there's only one ball. Guys, do you know it's championship weekend? It's going to be a lot of fun. That's where we're going right now. AFC Championship Game Sunday. The big question is, will Patrick Mahomes play? The Chiefs quarterback practiced in a limited fashion as he's still going through the league's concussion protocol. Coach Andy Reid was asked about his QB status.
He looked good. He's just he's in the protocol. So there's only certain things he can do. And and it's a limited basis, but today is a little bit limited practice. So this fit right into what he could do. But he took all the snaps, and, you know, he feels good. So, I mean, we're just going to follow this protocol as close as we possibly can.
All right, Max, listening to Adam Schefter on Get Up this morning, he said he'd be shocked if Mahomes didn't play. So let's assume that he does and he makes it through the entire concussion protocol. Who's more valuable to their team? Is it Patrick or would you say Josh Allen?
Patrick Mahomes. And I think it's easily Patrick Mahomes. Respect to Josh Allen, who's been superb most of the season. He had a little hiccup maybe a third of the way into the season, but otherwise has been superb, and including in the playoffs has led his teams to wins. Mm-hmm. But right now, who's playing better defense, the Chiefs or the Bills? Like, can you imagine the Bills surviving a bad game from Josh Allen? Because I can. Can you imagine the Chiefs surviving a bad game from Patrick Mahomes? No. And is it linked to his weapons? When you have Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and when you have Andy Reid as the head coach, a quarterback whisperer like that, is that all tied to his success? Of course it is. But he's got to deliver the goods. Respect to Chad Henne and what he did at the end of that game and the play call of Andy Reid. Do any of us believe had Chad Henne started that game, they would have won? I don't. You think they would have won with Chad Henne against Cleveland? I don't. And I don't think they would win against Buffalo. But the way Buffalo's been playing defense, look what they just did to the Ravens, run game. The way they're playing defense, Josh Allen could have a nice, solid game and they could win. We all know the Chiefs can't have a nice, solid game from Patrick Mahomes. They need him to be Superman.
I believe you're wrong. However, because philosophically, you and I have never been on the same page with this matter. Like, for example, you know, years ago when CP3 got injured and you felt like that cost Houston the trip to the finals, I felt like Golden State, KD, Steph, Clay, they would have found a way no matter what. It's similar here. I'm thinking Kansas City would have found a way with Tyreek Hill, with Travis Kelce, with Williams in the backfield, with Le'Veon Bell, with the weapons that they have available, Mecole Hardman and others, with Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, they would have figured out a way. That's my belief. And so when I look at it from that perspective, I look at the multitude of weapons that they have available to them, and I say, excuse me, there's so much talent on Kansas City, even on the defensive side of the ball led by the Honey Badger. There's so much talent on that squad and veteran leadership as well. You have a situation where they could have potentially found a way against a team that really hadn't been relevant in postseason play for over a decade. Well, that's how I'm looking at Cleveland. In the case of the Buffalo Bills, first of all, Stephon Diggs arrives. Josh Allen, we see what he can do. They've been out of the picture for quite a long time. Bills Mafia, I don't know why they got a mafia. What the hell have they done to call themselves Bills?
The best fan base in sports right
now.
Lamar Jackson charity the money?
I'm not questioning the legitimacy of the fans. I'm questioning the legitimacy of their argument about the Bills. In other words, the Bills have just become relevant in our eyes. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the fans. Any team that lives in that city, with that weather, and you support them like that? Oh, they're
monsters. You've seen them? They break tables.
They're always supporting the Bills.
The Bills fans are something special. I'm not talking about it. I'm just saying that their team just started giving them something to cheer about. Yeah. I'm looking at Allen with a Stephon Diggs, and I'm like, it's all you've got. It's not to say they don't have talent on the defensive side of the ball, particularly with that secondary. I get all of that. But without Josh Allen, you don't have a snowball's chance in hell. You don't have it, okay? Without Patrick Mahomes, you still got a chance because of the talent Kansas City has. That's how I'm looking at it. So I'm saying from a philosophical standpoint, I look at Josh Allen as being more valuable to his team right now than Patrick Mahomes because, to me, him and Stephon Diggs are it. Whereas with Patrick Mahomes, that's not the case.
Your argument is that because Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs have this thing going on
now.
You need the two of them.
No, I'm saying that's it for them. I'm saying with Kansas City, I can look at a multitude of things.
So Chad Henne has enough different options that Chad Henne could beat the Buffalo Bills.
The question is who's more valuable to their team right now, Mahomes or Allen to their team?
Okay, I'm saying Allen is more valuable to the team. I'm not going to dispute the chemistry between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs right now. It's obvious. But I will say this. I don't know that Stephon Diggs couldn't do that with a lot of quarterbacks right now. This dude is playing with as much or more confidence as any player in the NFL who's left playing right now. Mm-hmm. And in fact, who's the best receiver even left in the playoffs? And I love Tyreek Hill, but in terms of the way Diggs is playing right now, it's probably him.
Max, I'm not knocking the brother because he could play, and I guess I'm taking a slight shot at him because he's a former Cowboy. But your second leading receiver on the team is Cole Beasley. I mean, come on, man. Come on, man. I mean,
they don't have the weapons Kansas City has.
He can play. He can play. But they don't have the weapons Kansas City has.
That's the point. But Kansas City is built to exploit those weapons.
Yes, right.
Buffalo, they're going to beat you in a shootout.
I'm saying without
– Buffalo could win a defensive game.
More valuable without Josh Allen. They have no chance. With a Chad Henne, Kansas City would still have a chance against anybody because of the weapons around them.
This is my position on Patrick Mahomes, and it has
been in the AFC.
With the Chiefs since before the season started. If the question is football to me right now, the answer is Patrick Mahomes. Quarterback play, the answer is Patrick Mahomes. Who's the most valuable? Mahomes. Who do you want most? Mahomes. It's Mahomes. I just think Aaron Rodgers is close. Mm-hmm. And I've never said otherwise if he's in his prime, and it looks like he still is. Right. Just didn't look last year. But Mahomes, to me, is the reason why you look at the Chiefs and you think they're going to win the Super Bowl. You replace him with anyone else, you go, I don't know, they're in the mix.
Without Josh Allen, I don't think the Bills would even be in the playoffs, A. And B, I would remind you, we are having conversations about Tyreek Hill being the best receiver in football.
Yeah.
And we are having conversations about Travis Kelce already being a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how special those brothers are. So all I'm saying is that, listen, Patrick Mahomes.
Whose defense would you take?
Patrick Mahomes, excuse me?
Whose defense would you take?
I think I'd take Buffalo by here.
Yeah.
I'll take Buffalo's defense.
I'll take Buffalo as well.
The secondary.
Yeah. All right, the Chiefs are favored by 3, and obviously he's going through the concussion protocol, but apparently he's also dealing with a foot injury as well. So we'll see what happens with Mahomes. Andy Reid, 5-1 with Mahomes in the playoffs, 11-13 with all
other foot injury didn't stop him from picking up that first down, by the way.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. You know what it is, that bad man versus the GOAT. Bucks Packers in the NFC Championship Sunday, so Bucks head coach Bruce Arians isn't trying to hear any talk about a Super Bowl just yet.
Yeah, we don't play that game this week. That's the message to everybody. We play the Packers in the NFC Championship game. You start thinking about the Super Bowl, get your ass beat and be packing your bags on Monday.
I don't feel any extra pressure going in this week. To me, it is a beautiful mystery what happens down the line. But there'll be time when we meet that future. And right now, I'm just going to enjoy the present.
Stephen A.
Yes.
Your boy, Aaron Rodgers. Is he the quarterback with the most to lose?
I think so. Because I think that, you know, to me, Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. From a talent perspective, he's the greatest ever. I just believe that. the Dan Marinos. And you know, I keep throwing up names, Max, like a Dan Fouts. I loved Dan Fouts. I loved Ed Coryell with him and Charlie Joyner and Kellen Winslow Sr. and Chuck Muncy coming out of back. I used to love watching San Diego throw the football with Dan Fouts when they went to San Diego. Now, when they went on the road in Cincinnati and, you know, in god-awful temperatures and all of that stuff, I felt bad for them. You can't come from Southern California to go to Cincinnati for AFC Championship. You just can't do it. It's not fair. It's not fair to human beings. I mean, it's frostbite and all that other stuff. But here's the deal. You can pick any quarterback. I was a lifelong Steelers fan. Terry Bradshaw, Lynn Swan, John Starwar, Franco Harris, Rocky Blyer and the crew, me and Joe Green and L.C. Greenwood and those boys in the defense. Didn't matter. Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback from a talent perspective that I've ever seen. Doesn't have the greatest resume to go to Tom Brady, but he's the greatest quarterback that I've ever seen. And to me, to be in this postseason, to be knocking at the doorstep of a Super Bowl berth, again, you haven't been back since you won it all in 2010. You're age 37 now, 48 touchdowns and 5 interceptions for the regular season. You are about to win the league MVP. You are going up against Tom Brady. It's not just about you needing to win. It's about who you'd lose to. And it losing to Tom Brady at 43 years of age, switching conferences, don't have Bill Belichick anymore, etc. And you go out there and you lose to him, to me, that would be a very, very big deal. I'm looking at Mahomes, and you look at Josh Allen, and you look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady's got 6 rings, 9 trips to the Super Bowl. You know, you made it this far without Bill Belichick, et cetera. To me, Aaron Rodgers, the way that they've looked, the way they looked last week, the way they've looked for the most part throughout this regular season, with the exception of going up against Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay, you look at Aaron Rodgers and the way he has balled. If suddenly you wet the bed, in the NFC Championship game, it would be a bad look to me. And I just look at him.
At Lambeau.
In terms of this week at Lambeau, first time NFC Championship game at Lambeau since Brett Favre. This game right here, this weekend, just these quarterbacks, I think Aaron Rodgers is the one with the most to lose out of all of them.
Well, I would agree if we were limiting it to that game. If it was Rodgers or Brady, I'd say Rodgers has more to lose. And Brady probably has the most to gain out of everybody at this point, because if he gets to the Super Bowl, getting by Aaron Rodgers this time without Belichick, it's an amazing actual enhancement of his already best ever legacy. I don't think Rodgers has the most to lose, though. He also has something to gain. He can enhance his legacy, too, because Rodgers' talent is so absurd that if he winds up with 2 rings or gets by Brady finally, they're on comparable teams. If anything, probably the Bucs have a little more talent, but Rodgers has more continuity. They're on comparable teams. Okay, Brady, you're not just coming out of the AFC. What would happen if you had to face Rodgers? Rodgers has something to gain there. See, I went head-to-head with Brady. We're both old, and I beat him. The guy with the most to lose is Patrick Mahomes, because you think Rodgers is number one ever from a talent perspective. And I would say he was until I saw Patrick Mahomes. And it is close, but I think Patrick Mahomes is number one from a talent perspective. And one thing we can agree on, I'll bet you everyone will agree on this, combination of talent and situation, Mahomes is number one all time. Talent and situation, Joe Montana and Tom Brady, they had a lot of early success. But you can look and say, as great as they are, that's decision-making. Yeah. It's not like they had the wheels or, you know, the most accurate passers or biggest arms ever. It wasn't like when you first saw Brett Favre, oh, my God. They were situations, great quarterbacks in great situations. But talent, no one was thinking number one. Peyton Manning had a slower start, let's be honest. Aaron Rodgers wasn't in the best situation all those years. Neither was Brett Favre. But Patrick Mahomes comes in with the kind of talent that since day one you go, oh, that guy might be. He's in the conversation, most talented dude ever. And in a situation with receivers everywhere and a great coach, Stephen A., do you realize he started for 3 years? This is his 3rd consecutive championship game he's played in.
But he
won an MVP, a Super Bowl MVP. Molly, what I'm saying is no one's ever started his career like this, ever. He's on pace to be the best and the greatest.
Fine.
I'm with you, but he's not healthy.
Well,
that's why I feel like this year is a little bit of an outlier.
Yeah,
he deserves an excuse.
If he plays,
fair enough. But I got one better for both of y'all. Who has ever started out their career with the weapons that that Patrick Mahomes has had available to
yeah.
him.
Situation.
That's
there
what
is
Max
no
is
one.
Saying, yeah.
Now, listen, we can look at Mark Super Duper, Mark Clayton with Dan mm-hmm. Marino. You know, we could look at that. I guess that's a comparison or what have you. But what I would say to you is that when you look at Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman,
Andy Reid,
Eric Bieniemy, nobody has had that available to them. So to me, without throwing any kind of shade on Patrick Mahomes, because he is great and there's a level of greatness that you just can't deny. When we talk about the argument of who's the greatest, his ceiling compared to Aaron Rodgers' ceiling, Aaron Rodgers has never had that. We just lamented a few months ago how Aaron Rodgers threw passes to Tavon Austin, and it was the first time in Aaron Rodgers, they highlighted how Drew Brees had thrown over 600 passes to a first-round wide receiver, and Tom Brady had thrown, or Drew Brees 800, and Tom Brady over 600, and all of these quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers throwing a ball to a first-round pick at the wide receiver spot had two pass attempts in his career. Come on now.
Stephen A., they drafted a quarterback. That was his help
this
season.
That's what I'm just saying.
This is what I'm saying.
And if you take Aaron Rodgers.
That situation.
Well, yeah, I understand the situation. But in the end, Max, even though you're talking about situational, I'm saying to you, when we talk about Rodgers, the quarterback with the most to lose, I'm just looking at it from the standpoint of the kind of things that's going to be said about him. The way you are so hyperbolic about Patrick Mahomes. Listen, that ain't going nowhere if he loses.
No, but this is my
point. Not going anywhere.
Mahomes.
You'll be talking about him next year.
Mahomes will fall a little back to the pack. Right now, he's starting his career like he's the Michael Jordan of football. It's never happened before. Right? Tom Brady is the greatest. Before that, it was Joe Montana. Mm-hmm. But looking at them with our eyeballs, we never said, like, what do we always used to say back then? You brought up the Miami Dolphins. We used to say, could you imagine if Dan Marino had Bill Walsh and everybody, Jerry Rice and everybody in San Francisco, what he would do? Because Marino's talent jumped out at you. Peyton Manning, could you imagine if he had Bill Belichick like Tom Brady does? Same thing with Rodgers, because their talent looked different, right? What I'm saying about Mahomes is he's Marino, he's Peyton, he's Rodgers with everything. That's never happened before in football.
You can say that, and I would tell you that Aaron Rodgers would be Patrick Mahomes, maybe even more with Tyreek Hill and Kelce and the rest of those crew. All I'm saying is that
we'll never know.
Listen, okay, we'll never know, but here's what we do know. We do know because of the greatness that you have highlighted about Patrick Mahomes, he ain't fallen because we're looking at him in his youth. And the fact, listen, this is football. Anything can happen on any given Sunday. You lose one game, we'll be talking about Patrick Mahomes the minute the season's ready to start because he's that dude. With Aaron Rodgers being 37 years of age, with the clock ticking, with Valdez Scantling, with Devontae Adams, with Lazard and those boys available to him, with him looking the way that he's looking right now and about to win league MVP, this could be it. We know it's not going to be it with Mahomes. Andy Reid, listen, once upon a time, Andy Reid was talking about retiring. Mm-hmm. You think about that now.
I would
extension and all that. Why? Because you got Patrick Mahomes.
I would
adding years to
new life.
Time's running out.
Well, okay, that I understand the loss because this may be his best chance. Although last year they won 13 games, they got better.
Yeah, but
and they're not
going to
draft the quarterback next year. They may get better next year.
We all knew they won't beat San Francisco last year.
But what I'm saying is they might be better next year than they are this year. He has a lot to gain because if Rodgers wins another Super Bowl, now in terms of GOAT conversations, we start to say
his talent and multiple
rings. He hasn't been there in 11 years now.
I'm not questioning that he has nothing to gain. The question was, who's the one with the most to lose?
Who's the highest paid in the league?
Who's the one with the most to lose?
Mahomes.
Yeah.
Who's the most valuable player in terms of who you could trade? Who for Mahomes, given his age and everything? Who's the Super Bowl reigning Super Bowl MVP?
Mahomes.
Who's the best player in football over the last 3 years? Mahomes. He's the lead dog. He got the most to lose.
This is the same guy that sat up there and said this dude was more valuable in sports than LeBron James. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, if he loses this one game Sunday, everything falls back into the
smaller sample size
over there.
No,
less of a margin for error for a guy.
Your own argument against you. I'll leave you with this: if Aaron Rodgers does lose on Sunday, him and Donovan McNabb will be the only quarterbacks ever to have lost four NFC championship games. No bueno.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. You know what, Stephen A. Max? Only if our next guest could get a commercial. Like, could you get one commercial deal? Honestly, Shaq, it's unbelievable.
Can I introduce him with one thing? I only have one thing to say with this, Shaq. Can you dig it? I missed that.
You didn't do it right. Yeah, you didn't do it right. Go ahead, Max. Go ahead, Max.
Yes,
there it is.
Oh, my gosh. The Hall of Famer, Shaquille O'Neal. So good to see you. All right, and you are the new brand ambassador for Novex Biotech, a sports nutrition brand built on optimization for men 45 and older. Since every man in my life is 45 and older, we need to talk about this a little bit later, Shaq. But first, I want to focus here on the Brooklyn Nets. Talk to me. What do you think? What's going to be their biggest challenge, those three personalities in one ball?
Well, the question is, will they implode or will they explode? Right now with the two, with James and KD, looking pretty good. Joe Harris is getting shots. The others are involved. They're playing well. But what's going to happen when Kyrie gets back? Barkley and Kenny seem to think that Kyrie's not going to be the point guard anymore. James is going to be the point guard. He's going to go to two. Question is, will Kyrie go for that? We'll just have to, sit back and watch. I don't want to, speculate on what will go on. But, of course, they're the three of the most talented players that we've seen on one team. They definitely have a big three. And I said this and I meant this. If they don't win the championship this year, it's a bust. Period.
Let me say this, first of all, as an aside. Not that this man needs any more money, but every university in the United States of America any university that has a marketing program should call Shaquille O'Neal, okay? I mean, he could just give marketing lessons to everybody. Let me say that. Now let me say this to you. We saw Brooklyn, the Big Three, show up last night against the Cavs. They lost in double overtime. We saw Kyrie Irving. Kyrie.
Okay, so Kyrie's back.
He got back. Okay, they lost last night in double overtime. Kyrie shot 28 times. James Harden shot 14 times. To me, that's a big deal, okay? I still expect them to come out of the East. I think if they come out of the East, Shaq, that's good enough. You're saying finals or championship or bust. I say finals or bust. Why should it be championship or bust?
You got to win. No. You listen. KD knows what it takes to win championships. So does Kyrie. James hasn't been there yet. It's time for him to get a championship. All that going to the front. No. He's not a young player. This ain't his first or second year. Championship or bust. And let me tell you why. So I guess James has a little problem with what I said. The first time we met, I had a problem with what you said, right? I talked to you like a man. And you know what you said to me, Stephen? You said, Shaq, you're a great player, but you haven't stepped up yet. Remember that? Remember you told me that? I cornered you. We got into a little argument. And look, you said, Shaq, I love you, the most dominant big guy in the world, but you keep getting swept. You haven't stepped up yet. So he ain't stepped up yet. All that talk about, we should be uplifting brothers and all that. I uplift my brothers by telling them the truth. I'm not a yes man, okay? You ain't show up yet. So you got to win the championship. All that making it to the finals, you're supposed to make it to the finals. You're supposed to make it to the finals, but you're also supposed to win. I want to see some people win. Look, I wish them well. I hope they win. But if they don't get a championship this year, it's a bust.
Meantime, while that was going on with Brooklyn and Cleveland, Philadelphia was winning, and they were beating Boston, and they were doing it behind Joel Embiid's 42. And, Shaq, you've gotten on Embiid to stay more consistent. I say Embiid is the MVP so far this year.
No, he's not.
And guess what? If you say Embiid is the MVP, that's the talk we want to hear from our big man. Notice I say our big man because I'm the president of the Big Man Alliance. When there's another guy in the big man that does what I've done, I will move out of the way. But other than that, I'm not leaving this chair. So, I've always said 28 and 10 is the formula for big guys to be dominant. Of course, when you go to the playoffs, you got to add to your PPG and your RPG. But, hey, I'll take 42 and 10 anytime. So, Mr. Embiid, keep it up.
Keep it up all he want to. Kevin Durant is the MVP right now, Shaquille O'Neal. The brother's averaging 30 on 54% shooting, better than 40% from three-point range. And oh, by the way, 18-month hiatus because of an Achilles tear. He's the MVP right now.
And I saw what you said yesterday, and I agree with everything you said yesterday. The man had 18 months off, and he came back like he has a Mr. B. Yes, Kevin Durant, Durantula, is also my MVP. I have to go with Stephen A. on this one, Max.
Shaq, we're acting like there's no defensive side of the ball. Not that KD can't play defense, but have you seen Embiid this year?
Defense is overrated, Max. Max, defense is overrated. Stop it.
Shaq, Embiid is the closest thing the league has right now to you. And because the league is not as big man oriented anymore, everyone thinks it's a disadvantage. He's abusing these little dudes.
Say it again. He's the closest thing to what?
To you in the league right now,
Static. I can't hear you, Max. It's a lot of static. It's a lot of static in my microphone. I cannot hear you.
Shaq, but for real, you had Penny, and Penny was great, but Penny wasn't a guard version of Shaq. Kobe was. Dwayne Wade was like Shaq great as a guard, and that's what it takes for a big to win championships. He needs another dude as good as him. Can Simmons be that guy for Embiid, do you think?
I think Simmons can be that guy. I think, you know, Ben just needs to focus on this game. You know, a lot of people shoot the three, do this and do that, but I think he's averaging 18, 19 points, you know, just doing his way. You know, definition of a great player is making the ones around you better. So I think he just needs to stay aggressive, get to the hole. Once the defense collapses, just kick it out to you guys, and, you know, hopefully, you know, the others can, you know, step up. But every now and then he's going to have to, you know, pull out that mid-range shot and occasionally hit a three. So I think if he can do that, they should go pretty far.
You got four championships on your resume. Three came with the Los Angeles Lakers. Right now, they're the prohibitive favorites. Do you think, A, they deserve to be the favorites in light of what we've seen assembled in Brooklyn? And, B, do you see anybody out west challenging the Lakers this season?
I think they do deserve to be the favorites because they're the champs. You have to knock off the champs. Anybody in the West, Denver, look, it's a lot of competitive teams out there. Let me finish. It's a lot of competitive teams out there, but I don't think it's a team that can beat them in a seven-game series. A lot of
what
teams
about the Clippers? What about Kawhi?
Bro, we said that last year. So, you know, until the Clippers beat them, you know, it's just still the, you know, the same old talk. And I get tired of watching you talk the same old talk. That's why I like that's like when you talk, I put it on mute. I love hearing Molly and Max talk because they speak real facts, unlike you. You just be, I put it on mute. And then when the intelligent, smooth brother of Max Kellerman.
Okay. You know what's coming because I'm watching you on TNT. You know what's coming. I'm going to get you for that. You know what I'm saying? You know I am.
Well, as usual, Shaq has a lot of very smart things to say.
He's being too kind.
Shaq,
lying.
When I look out west, there are two teams that are interesting to me this year that maybe aren't getting as much press as some of the others, Dallas and Phoenix. What are your thoughts about their chances this year, Dallas and Phoenix?
They're young. They should go pretty far in the playoffs, but I don't think they have enough to beat the Lakers. You know, the team that scares me, if they're on full throttle, no mistakes, everybody's healthy, I'm always scared of Portland because I think CJ and Dame, I think they're the best backcourt in basketball right now, those two, especially when they go going and they're shooting at a high rate. Clippers also scare me, but look, I need everybody to play at a high level. I want to see that Indiana Pacers Paul George, the aggressive Paul George going through the hole, dunking, stepping out, shooting threes. I don't like seeing Paul when he goes up and down. I want to see the Indiana Pacers Paul. And Paul's been playing great, so I'm not going to jump on my guy Paul. But, you know, if Paul could play at a high level with Kawhi playing at a high level, then, yes, they can challenge the Lakers.
Shaq, talk to me about Novavax Biotech. What's the deal?
Well, I wanted to be sexy like your husband. So, you know, I was filling with
Pfizer.
I tried everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, listen, your husband is beautiful. He's sexy. I know he has a six-pack. I said, you know what? I'm looking like Charles Barkley now. My belly is hanging over my belt line. So when I tried Novavax GF9, I got more active. I was sleeping through the night, and I have energy. And yes, Stephen A. Smith, I have a six-pack. I'll send you a text right now. I'll send you a text right now, Stephen A. Smith.
I'll deal with you later.
Say all
I'm not going. I'm not going to say what I want to say.
Say
I'm not going to say what I want to say. You know damn well you don't have no six pack.
See? Okay. Here's my phone.
Oh, Lord.
You haven't tried. Novavax Biotech, Stephen A.
He don't. Unless he lost about 30 pounds in 2 days.
I did.
When Shaq started taking Novavax Biotech, he was 6'1".
I got it.
Check your phone.
He did send it to. He sent it to.
Yeah, check your phone.
I don't even want to see it.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, all right, president of the Big Man Alliance. Oh my goodness.
What did he send you? Let's see it.
No, yeah, I ain't showing it.
Show it. Go ahead, show it. Yeah.
Y'all can't see this.
Is that a bathroom selfie?
He's sitting there with a six. He's trying to say it's a six pack. He just sent it to me.
That's not him. Get out of here.
What you mean? That's Bali. That's me.
He took this a year ago. He took this a year or two ago.
When did he take that?
He saved it in his library. He just sent it to me. I ain't buying that.
Check. I want to see the date on that photo. That was in the archive. Oh, my goodness. All right. Shaq, I'm told you got to go. Always a good time. I knew you'd bring me a smile and a laugh. Stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Lose some damn weight.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Shaq, he can do what he wants.
You see the picture? You see the picture?
It's 2 years old.
Look at it.
It's two years old. Look at that background. Please.
Shaq, you got to hold the newspaper up.
They ain't got nothing to do with the six pack. They ain't got nothing to do with it.
Oh, my God. Goodbye. Bye, everyone.